Joining me now on the phone, I have Summit County Community Development Director Pat Putt. Good morning, Pat.
Hi, Leslie.
We always like to kick these segments off with anything new coming through the planning office there that we should know about.
Probably the biggest new project that's going to be coming through our office, we're going to sit down with as soon as I'm off this call, and that's going to be the Pendry Hotel, and that's going to be developed down in the village area at the Canyons campus of the resort. So I would expect, now that we'll be getting an application, the Planning Commission may be seeing this as early as the first part of March. That by far is probably the biggest project that we'll be working on here in the short term. So we're excited to get started on that one.
Yeah, so the Canyon Spa, I mean, it's the density is already determined, right? And then these parcels are just kind of parceled out to individual developers?
Exactly. A little less than 2 years ago, the Canyons property owners and the Planning Commission and the Council went through and revised a master plan for the area. That process didn't result in any new entitlements or any new densities, but a basic reconfiguration of where those densities were going to be located from parcel to parcel, some slight adjustments in some of the building sizes and building heights. But this particular project, Pendry, will be coming in and will be reviewed under those existing criteria.
Yeah, so how many units are we talking about here and what is being known as the baby montage?
I don't have the exact number in front of me right now. Those things tend to move around a little bit in terms. The next time we talk in early March, I'll be able to give you the specifics on that. But I know it's over 100,000 square feet. It'll be a big facility. But again, it's been contemplated through that master planning process. And again, part of that master planning process was taking a look at what we tend to refer to as the building volumetrics, the building size, how it sits in relationship to some of the other structures around it. At that point in time, about a year and a half ago, everybody seemed to be satisfied with that. So now it's going to be sort of that administrative review, meaning we're going to be taking a look to make sure it meets those requirements, doesn't exceed the allowed square footages, meets the heights, meets the parking. You know, the Canyons Design Review Committee have already spent a considerable amount of time reviewing this project in light of the design criteria, the architectural criteria. So now it's going to land on our desk. We'll take it from here. It'll be with the Planning Commission. They'll take an action on that. And again, I think we'll be starting on that probably as early as March.
Okay. Let's see. Summit County Manager Tom Fisher held a public hearing and was considering an approval to some clarifications for the 65-lot Indian Hollow subdivision. Just as you approach Camas, did he make a decision yesterday on that?
He did make a decision on that. And for the listeners who may not be familiar with that project, that is a residential subdivision located as you're coming in from Park City on Highway 248, coming into Camas. It's going to be located to the north of the Democrat Alley 248 intersection, and you're right, it's 65 lots. This was approved a number of years ago, and it was a project that was approved under an old code, a 1996 code. It vested under that. The project was approved, and there were a number of stipulations associated with it, and the property owner has come back and asked for, I guess what I would call sort of a bundle of things, some clarifications, not necessarily changes, but some clarifications to a couple conditions, and then a request for one change. What Tom Fisher approved as part of his action yesterday was a change in that project that just clarifies who the water provider is going to be. In my understanding, that water provider is going to be the Indian Hollow Creek Water Company. They've clarified that the developer, when they move forward, can either install the sewer system, which is going to be a package treatment plant, or they can bond for that, meaning that if they bond for that, They can get started with the construction, but that package treatment plant would need to be completed prior to lots being sold. The other point that was being discussed, the requested change by the developer, had to do with a perimeter fence. And I was not in attendance at the meeting yesterday, but I was told that there were a number of nearby residents, roughly a dozen and a half of them, who were very interested in making sure that that fencing requirement remained unchanged. When the Planning Commission approved this, there was a requirement for a 6-foot-high fence, and I believe the intent of that was to prevent trespass from the development onto the adjacent agricultural properties. The fence was pretty specific in its approval. It was supposed to be 6 feet high, and the top two strands were supposed to be made out of or constructed with barbed wire. The applicants were coming in requesting that the fence be, they'd be able to modify that fence to have a more wildlife-friendly fence. But based on the public comment and the input received yesterday, the county manager did not change that condition of approval. So what we'll end up seeing will be a 6-foot-high fence. The top two strands will be barbed wire.
Okay, so no septic tanks here then, huh? They're required
No.
to build their own. What about those folks on Democrat Alley? Are they on sewer or are they on septic?
I believe the majority of them are on septic, on individual wastewater septic systems, which, you know, is going to be something that both the Summit County Health Department and Community Development, the commission staff, will be most likely looking at. It'll be a priority for this year, looking at what our strategies are going to be moving into the future. Is there going to be some possibilities in the short term and maybe into the mid to long term to move towards a public system in that area? I know it's a high priority for council.
Okay. Yeah, I also wanted to get an update on some of the frontage roads proposal. The former Caroon project on Rasmussen Road, I believe that was withdrawn. Anything there?
Yeah, we approved that late spring, early summer last year. I believe the sale of the property to Mr. Caroon and his partners was contingent on approval of a project, which he ended up receiving. The sale just never closed. It was a good project. I think the Planning Commission was pleased with the design of it. It certainly, you know, met the necessary standards of the code. I think, unfortunately, it was just a matter of the buyer not being able to reach terms with the seller, and we haven't had any further conversations with the property owner. We haven't had any new proposals from outside parties on that piece of property. So right now we have a rural residentially zoned piece of ground. So will something happen in the future? Likely, but we haven't seen any proposals recently.
So that approval goes away shortly? I mean,
yes.
Right? I mean, 2 years or something,
yeah,
right?
It lapses after a year.
Ah, so has it lapsed at this point? No, not quite.
Probably not. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm happy to check in. We can maybe chat in early March on that. I don't believe it's lapsed, but my understanding is the property did not move forward in its sale.
So. Oh, and just given that it's Sundance, we, of course, remember the controversy over the Uber helicopters landing on Old Ranch Road. The county went to court. Basically stopping that from happening. So what regulations have resulted from that?
That seems so far back in my Sundance memory. It's like a grainy black and white image, but I guess it was. It was only 2 years ago. Yeah, so what came out of that whole experience was some code changes. And leading up to the code changes, we formed a subcommittee to take a look at evaluating just helicopters in general, the more global impact of helicopters. What are they used for? What are their needs? If we're going to allow them, you know, what should be the conditions, if at all? And so we put together a group. It was made up of a number of staff people here at the county. It was some aviation experts, you know, people who actually build and locate airports and heliports. We had a couple helicopter operators as part of that group as well. And what we did is we drafted about as comprehensive of a helicopter ordinance as we could develop. And from there, we took it to the Planning Commission through a public hearing process, took it to council through a pretty exhaustive public hearing process. At the end of all of that, at the end of that roughly 6 months, council made a decision to only limit helicopter landings in the Snyderville Basin under, you know, for a couple specific reasons. One was going to be like fire and police department, public safety. The other was going to be for medical, emergency medical services. And remember, we've got a helicopter pad out by the sheriff's office. There's one just inside the city limits at the hospital. So police, fire, and medical would be permitted. The only other use that is permitted now under the code would be for construction purposes. One of the resorts flying in towers, something like that. That would go through a low-impact permit process. Other than that, no other helicopter landing pads, no heliports, commercial or private, are permitted in the basin. And that was the end of that long saga of the Sundance Uber helicopter story.
Okay. Hey, Pat, we'll talk to you next month. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks for the privilege. Talk to you later.
That's Summit County Community Development Director Pat Putt. You're listening to the Local News Hour. Well, coming up on Wednesday, it's the annual Leadership 101. This is an opportunity to learn more about our local organizations and to hear from our leaders. On the phone with details, I have the founder of Leadership Park City, Miles Radiman. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
Okay, so I mentioned Wednesday. When and where?
Yeah, this will be the 22nd year that we're doing this Leadership 101. And it will take place on Wednesday. It'll be at the IHC Park City Hospital in the Blair Education Center. That's the first time we're using that facility, but everything else is so crowded these days, and they're lovely enough to host us. So for people who know where the hospital is, I think most people know, and they have a great education center there, a conference center. It'll be from 8:30 to 4:30 approximately on this Wednesday, February 6th. And this is a chance for people of all stripes. People have been here a long time. People have just arrived. Certainly good for frontline people, for real estate agents, for anyone working in the hospitality industry to learn about what our community has been doing. And so we're going to hear from government officials, like our mayor and our city manager. We're going to hear from the county officials. We're going to hear from nonprofits. We're going to hear from the Chamber Bureau. We'll hear about our Olympic bid from Colin Hilton. We're going to hear about all the development. You were just talking with my good friend Pat Putt, and he's going to be speaking along with the mayor of Heber, Ms. Potter, and also Doug Smith, the Wasatch County planner. So we're really looking at a much more regional approach to it this year because the development is affecting all of us. And right. Then we'll be hearing about arts and culture and about the new arts culture center that we're building, and certainly about transportation and affordable housing. And we'll end up the day, and it's a long day. There's a lot of things that are going on, but Diego Zegarra, who you were interviewing about social equity, will be moderating a panel about what does that really mean here. So we're going to have representatives from a number of the nonprofits that we think deal with social equity issues.
Okay. Like you say, it's a long day, but you know, they're like 20-minute segments, so things moving pretty fast here, huh?
Yeah, things are moving very quickly, and sometimes people have described it as a fire hose of information. But if you want to get a lot of information in one place, certainly from the people who are making or are tasked with making the decisions that are impacting our community's future, You'll hear from them directly. And you know, since we've done it for 22 years, we know that it works. People are very appreciative of the effort that everyone puts out to be transparent and say, here's what we're doing, here's why we're doing it, here are the problems that we're facing, here's the conflicts that arise. You know, there's no attempt here to varnish anything over. And we're just talking about what's our community up to and how we're dealing with all the great opportunities that confront us.
So it's different every year. Even if you've been once, you'd come back and learn something new, huh?
Oh, every year I learn a lot new just because the circumstances keep changing. I guess the only thing that's remained constant in all this is me. I started out at the beginning for about a half hour just talking about the history of Park City. And while it probably doesn't change that much, I've changed a lot over 22 years. So, and people find that interesting, a little bit about our mining history and how we got to be where we are now, and certainly about our last Olympic effort in 2002. Many people who show up were not here in 2002, which, as I look back, is 17 years ago now. So it's pretty amazing that it's gone, but, you know, I think we might have a real good shot at 2030, and people will see what we did then and why we did it, and hopefully get jazzed up for it. So it's a fun day. It's a real fast-moving day. There is a $40 registration fee because we give everyone lunch and breaks, and we have to pay for those. But all the content is free. The food is not. How's that? Maybe that's a nice way of saying it.
Okay. So, again, there is a fee, but that basically just pays for lunch and some snacks?
Yeah, and we'd appreciate if people sign up in advance so that we can let the hospital know how many lunches to prepare, you know, just how much food should be there. The way to sign up is right on the city's homepage. It's parkcity.org, and you just click on the homepage, or you just type in the box, you know, the search box at the top, Leadership 101, and they'll take you there. You can pay with PayPal. If you have any questions, you can call Minda Stockdale, who was really administrating this, and she's at the city at 615-5186. But yeah, it's really easy to sign up for, or if, you know, if the last minute decides you can come, show up for sure.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention?
No, we're pleased to do it. And as I said, this is the year that we'll take the most regional approach to talking about it. So Bruce Erickson will talk about city planning, Pat about county planning, and then Doug Smith about Wasatch County planning, and Kellyanne Potter, which is really where so much of the development is taking place in Heber, will talk about how they're going to deal with some of the growth issues. So we are looking at a more regional approach now.
Okay. Hey, Miles, thanks for your time this morning.
Leslie, thanks so much. Bye-bye.
It's 8:38. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, the Utah Teens Talk film bloggers are members of Planned Parenthood Association of Utah's Teen Council. The council works as volunteer peer sex health educators in their schools and communities. As members of the blogging team now, these local teens have participated in Damn These Heels Film Festival as well as the Sundance Film Festival. In the studio to tell us more, I have one of the bloggers, Maya Levine, and on the phone with me, I have the Teen Council teacher, Dahlia Gonzalez. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So let's start with you, Maya. I mean, as a teen talk blogger, what is it that you're responsible for?
So I am privileged to be able to go to these films that Planned Parenthood and the Teen Council facilitators have allowed us and gotten tickets for us to see. So myself, as well as the other Teen Council members, go to these films, and afterwards we write reviews about them from the standpoint of a Teen Council member. So what does it mean to be a Teen Council member and look at these films, and how does it relate to healthy sex ed in Utah? And not even sex ed, but just healthy relationships, consent. What is this movie exemplifying to the audience? What is the message? And then relating that back to the Teen Council mission statement.
Okay, so how many bloggers are there this year?
There's 10 students participating this year, but there's many, many Teen Council members.
Okay. How many films have you seen personally?
For the project, I've only seen two because of my schedule. However, I'm going to be able to see a few more through the blogger project in the upcoming week.
Okay. Now, are the films chosen for you, or do you kind of get a list that you get to choose from?
There's a list of around 13 films, I believe, mm-hmm. and each Teen Council member participating in the blogger project takes note of which films they would like to see, and then depending on what our favorites are, ticket availability, we are then assigned to go see all of these films.
Okay. Any standouts for you at this point?
I would say two of them have really stood out to me. This Is Personal, which premiered this Monday, actually, and Cher. So This Is Personal was about three women who organized and led the Women's March on in Washington, D.C. It was super interesting. It portrayed their personal lives outside of the Women's March and what that entailed. This Is Personal relates to the film quite naturally, actually, because it's their personal lives. It was so interesting to see what they had to go through and the racism and sexism they had to overcome because of their position in relation to the march, but also just being themselves. Cher was also extremely interesting. I got to see this yesterday, and it's about a girl who wakes up one day after a night she forgot because of the alcohol she consumed, which was not the main point, but unfortunately during that night she was sexually assaulted, and it shares her story about what she wants to do, like what are the next steps in reclaiming her narrative. I thought it was super powerful. It's unlike all of the Hollywood films, which I was super glad to see, and I think it was a very, very real portrayal of specifically what high schoolers have to go through after a sexual assault and the resources that you may or may not have, and depending on the situation, whether it's safe for you to come out about what happened or if you even wanted to. And I would recommend, it is a hard film to watch because it is so real. However, I think that makes it all the better to show what really happens. I think this film should be shared among all high schoolers to see and to gain a perspective of what really happens.
Yeah. So, Dahlia, I mean, what requirements are do these for people to get this position as a Sundance blogger?
Very good question. So with the Teen Council Blogger Project, the Utah Teen Talk, they do have to apply, and they have to have the interest in being able to, like, know it, to write blogs and feel comfortable expressing their own review regarding the film. When they apply, we go ahead and then select a fellow amount of the Teen Council members. Here in Summit County, we have 15 students, but in those 15, we have a total of 5 of them involved in our Teen Council Blogger Project. Once they applied, then they did a training to understand what it means to be a blogger, to understand what it means to pay attention to the films while they're watching them, and also they get the opportunity to be able to sit through post-film panels, like the one that Maya went to. We had the key people from that film, from This Is Personal. They were being interviewed at the end of the film, and it was just wonderful to know that, like, people were there and sharing their thoughts about, like, all the hard work that took into being able to be vulnerable and share your story on the film. But I went a little sidetracked. But yes, with the Teen Council Blogger Project, all they have to do is to be committed to the Teen Council program, which all these students commit to a year, and they go to a meeting once a week for 2.5 hours. And they receive the training to be able to resource their fellow peers in what is sexuality, what is social justice. And that's why we do try to choose films around sexuality and social justice, like the one that Maya just said about Cher.
So that's what I was going to ask. I mean, why were these particular 13 films chosen to watch?
Yeah, so these 13 films were chosen because we know that our teens have this interest and they have received this training all throughout the year regarding these subjects and how they want to go ahead and communicate with other people the importance about, like, sexual assault is not tolerated, or that there's a story to everybody, that people are intersectional. And so when we went ahead and chose these films, we wanted to make sure that our teens will be interested, that they were going to feel comfortable, that if anybody was going to have, like, any sensitive feelings towards them, that they knew that they could choose whichever films they wanted to. We didn't want to choose them for them. They had the option to do so. And it's not only films in Park City that they were able to go to. They were able to go to the film festival films in Salt Lake. So they have the opportunity to also go down there.
Yeah. In talking with a national Planned Parenthood media representative, she told us that more and more filmmakers and producers are using Planned Parenthood as a resource to make sure that they get it right. I mean, to represent sexual health issues in an accurate way. That's kind of interesting. Can you talk about that at all?
Yeah, it is interesting because with Planned Parenthood, we do try to have this framework of being able to be inclusive in whatever nature it is, whether we are trying to support our minority groups, whether we're trying to support folks that are going through difficulty in accessing the resources that they need. Maybe it's sexual health resources. Maybe it is being able to get a job. And so it is very important for us to, as Planned Parenthood, be open in discussing that we want to be inclusive. We are there to be inclusive. We're a sexual health resource, and they can resource to us.
Okay. So, Maya, where can people go to read this Teen Council blog?
So all of the blogs will be posted on the Planned Parenthood Tumblr account. I'm not exactly sure the username of the account, but if you just search Planned Parenthood Tumblr account, it should come up right on Google.
Okay. Have you noticed? I mean, do you have some followers?
I haven't checked yet. I'm a little nervous. But since Planned Parenthood and Teen Council have been doing this for a couple of years now, I think they've gained quite a following on Tumblr, at least.
Okay. And somebody had provided me a list of some of the films that you'll be covering. Ask Dr. Ruth, the Toni Morrison film, Cher, as you mentioned, Native Son, Maiden, Gaza, The Infiltrators. Anything else on your list to see?
I won't be able to see more films. However, the ones listed are also Knock Down the House, Birth of the Cool, Midnight Traveler, Words from a Bear, Maiden, Gaza, The Infiltrators, and a few students actually will be able to attend a VR cinema. So I think that will be really cool just to see the life of VR and how that plays into film.
Okay. Maya or Dahlia, anything else you wanted to mention?
No, that's all for
no,
me.
I just wanted to go ahead and thank you for giving us the opportunity to share the work that Teen Council does and how they are also being able to represent their peers and their thoughts with the Sundance Film Festival.
Okay, and I have this ppauteens.tumblr.com.
Yes,
that's where to find it. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dahlia and Maya Levine. KPCW News Time now, 8:46. You're listening to the Local News Hour here on Well, the Kimball Arts Center is putting the art in partners and celebrating Valentine's Day with a one-of-a-kind creative evening in the studio with details. I have Marketing Director Amy Roberts along with board member and musician Dan Lemaitre. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. Thanks for having us.
Okay, so it's Valentine's Day, the 14th. You, the Kimball, will be hosting what you're calling the Art of Love. It's a fundraising event, and tell us what you got going on.
It is a fundraiser for the Kimball, and it is going to be such a fun, creative evening where people can come in. You don't have to be a couple, so please don't feel like if you are a singleton, you can't attend. You certainly can. And we're bringing in some singer-songwriters from Nashville who are good friends with Dan here, and they're going to come in and give some coaching sessions on how to write lyrics to your own love song, and then we'll put some of them to music.
Okay, so people may actually have some lyrics, Dan, right? So you would be able maybe to help them put it to music, or
that is the goal. We have first off, let me just as a prelude, Valentine's Day is such a special night, but it's also a nightmare when it's in the middle of the week and trying to figure out what you can do. It's a school night; sitters need to get home early. It's hard to get an early reservation. We're going to provide food. We're going to provide drinks. We start at 6 p.m. You could probably still get home to put the kids to bed and get your sitters home on time. So we think we've scheduled this the right way for a Thursday night Valentine's Day. The program is just going to be fun. Gene Miller is an extraordinary musician. What we're going to be able to do is we have three different song templates of different genres. You'll be able to write verses. And there's a reason to put things to music, Leslie. And one of the beautiful things about the way our brain processes music is you remember things that are put to music. I think the three of us could probably write the lyrics to 200 songs.
I can jam to any song written by Guns N' Roses in the 80s, right?
There you go.
25 years later, I still got to memorize.
But if we had to write the words to five poems, we'd probably panic. And so music is a way to remember things. And if we write verses that night and put it to music for your loved ones, chances are you're going to create something that's memorable and is also going to be long-lasting. So we're really excited about it. It's $150 per person, $300 per couple. That does include food and drinks. The good news is the vast majority of that would be a tax deduction because it is a fundraiser for us. We'll have 8 to 10 songwriters working the tables. So don't feel like you have to come in with something in mind. If you do, that's great. But if you don't, you can start with a blank sheet of paper. We're going to help you go through all of that. And at the end of the night, if people want to stick around, chances are there's going to be a pretty good jam session. And I think people would really enjoy that as well.
And we should mention Gene Miller, who Dan yes. noted. This is not just someone who does it as a hobby. He is on tour right now with Amy Grant. He has written songs for some of the biggest names in Nashville, Faith Hill, Tim McGraw, Miranda Lambert. It's Dolly Parton. This guy's, he's legit. So you are not just having a fun, creative evening where you really get to share your love and express it with your friend or your spouse, child, whatever it is. You also are really getting this unique opportunity that you, really doesn't come to Park City. So,
yeah, this is sounds like one of a kind. I mean, I've never heard anything like this. Yeah.
Well, we think it will be fun.
Yeah.
I'll never take Amy's job as our head of marketing, but my tagline for this evening was, if you can't say it in a song, it ain't worth saying.
Okay. In terms of, though, just how the evening's going to be structured, I mean, there's going to be tables and what?
Yeah, you'll come in and we'll have drinks available, buffet dinner type setup. We'll have different tables laid out, and each songwriter will sort of be assigned to a group depending on how people sit. It's not assigned seating. It's not that formal or anything. But and then we'll just sort of take it from there depending on the flow of the evening and what a particular group, you know, what song maybe that they choose to write their lyrics to, and go from there.
Okay.
It may even turn out to be competitive, where tables compete with other tables for coming up with the best verses. But Gene will, in fact, perform some of the best verses that evening for everyone. So you'll actually get to write your verse and then hopefully hear it sung by a spectacular musician.
And Dan, he doesn't want anyone to know this, but he's a freestyle rapper, so maybe he will.
Well, he's kind of in the back of my mind. I was wondering if that would happen. Yeah. Right?
He's going to drop a beat. You should come and watch it.
Okay. How do people register?
They can go on our website, KimballArtCenter.org, and click on the link to Art of Love under our events page. We also have a lot of information on our Facebook page, so feel free to follow us there.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention?
It's going to be a wonderful evening that people will never forget, so we definitely hope you come. And Arts Fest, I know it's not until August, but we're already full planning, and we want to just say a big quick shout-out to thank you to our big sponsors, Zions Bank and Park City Hospital, who've come on as title sponsors.
Great. Okay, Amy, Dan, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Leslie.